If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read several verses. I told Melinda verse 11, that's the main verse. But I want to read verse 9, 10, and 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." I want to talk to you this morning about the second coming of Christ. I think all of us probably are aware this morning that the second coming seems to be very close. And if there's ever been a time in our lives when we need to make sure that all is ready and all is well within our souls, it ought to be in this day in which we live. The second coming, this blessed hope, lies at the very heart of our Christian faith. This is not a truth or belief that is the prerogative of some religious cranks. It is something that is a part of the universal faith. There is not a creed of the church where this hope is not expressed. There is not a hymn book where it is not sung. And when we gather around the table to partake of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of his coming, that you do show the Lord's death till he comes. I want to turn to some words of Christ this morning concerning his second advent that I think are very, very meaningful to help us understand where we are today. It says, "As it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot." I want to remind you that as we look at these two verses, the Bible said, "Even thus shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." So it simply reminds us today, as it was, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the very end of time itself. So I want us to look back at these two events this morning, and I think it's very significant that our Lord has linked the truth of these two judgments, Old Testament judgments, to his second coming. Let's look at God's judgment that it is determined. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, "God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously, and it repented God," or "it grieved God, that he had made man. And the Lord said, I will destroy him whom I have created from the face of the earth." How terrible I think the corruption must have been for God to contemplate such a judgment. For the Lord to simply say that I am going to strike out or cut out all the evil that is there, and I'll start all over again. And you know, the Bible said that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it talks about God looked down from heaven and he saw a man by the name of Noah that he saw to be righteous in his sight. And God warned Noah in a dream of impending judgment. And the Bible said that Noah, moved with fear, built the ark for the saving of his household. Now, how terrible to think that corruption was so bad. In fact, the Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. But they did buy, they did sell, they bought, they sold, they built, they married, they gave in marriage. The Bible tells us that it was business as usual, and they did not contemplate that what God said was actually going to happen. But I'm here to remind you this morning that God was merciful and long-suffering, and he gave space and opportunity for repentance, but they would not repent. Well, like a cancer, God was going to cut it out. And after 120 years, the Bible tells us that God sent that judgment, and we'll talk more about that in the message. But I cannot imagine that 120 years went by and Noah was working on that ark, building it. And every time he added a plank to that boat, that great giant houseboat out in the desert, it was simply God's warning to the human race that judgment was coming. Now, I know that we live in a day when folks don't believe that judgment is coming. They don't believe in God as a whole, and they certainly don't believe that God is going to interrupt time and that he is going to bring judgment in this world. But as it was, so shall it be. But note also in Genesis chapter 18, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was guilty of perversion and sodomy. And it grieved God when he looked down from heaven and he saw the wickedness that was in the hearts of men. And God pronounced judgment. Now, you know the story, how that three angels came to Abraham, and because Abraham was the father of the faithful, God wanted him to know what he was about to do. So he sent three angels, and when Abraham found out what God was going to do, he interceded on Sodom's behalf. You remember, he said, "Lord, peradventure there be 50 righteous in the city, would you destroy it?" And God said, "No, for the sake of 50 righteous, I will not destroy it." That number went down from 40 to 30 to 20 and then down to 10, and they couldn't even find 10 righteous in the city. And so God told Lot and his family to get out. Now I'm reminded this morning that God was merciful and he was long-suffering, and he gave opportunity for repentance, but they did not repent. What of the day of Christ's return? As it was, so shall it be. Of the sin and the unbelief that is in the world today, there can be no doubt. I think all of us here today know that we live in a time when things are waxing worse and worse, just like the Bible said they would, and that day will not come except there be a falling away first. And that the hearts of men will wax cold in the last days. I'm telling you, churches are struggling across America today. Now, there are some churches that may be doing a little better, but as a whole, the church world is going down. It just reminds us of that coldness that is gripping the hearts and the lives of folks that are Christians. And we're not excited about the things of God like we used to be. And we don't seem to believe that God's going to interrupt time and come back and call a screeching halt to this world. Sometimes we get caught up in the philosophy of this age that everything's going to continue the way it's always gone. But I'm here to tell you, as it was, so shall it be. P. People complain today that God does not seem to be doing very much, but they forget that God is speaking of a time when he will act, when he says the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. Oh, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. I'm reminded of the fellow that was on death row. There was stay after stay of execution. 5 years, 10 years, 12, 13, 15 years went by. And it seemed like it wasn't ever going to happen. But then one morning, they come, they open the cell door, and they escort him out down that long hall. And they take him to the execution chamber. Judgment finally came. Why does God not act? Why does God not just say, I've had it with that bunch of folks down there. I've had it with them. I'm telling you why he loves us. I don't understand how he can love me, how he can love you, and how he can love the human race. I don't understand it, but praise God, he loves us this morning. And we need to be reminded of the fact that even though he loves us, as it was, so shall it be. Judgment is coming. God's mercy was declared. Nowhere in the Bible do you find judgment without mercy. Mercy was declared in the days of Noah and of Lot. You remember that Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. Now, I don't know how many times God talked to Noah, but the Bible only indicates one time. 120 years passed by. God spoke. He believed God. He moved with fear for the saving of his house. I'm telling you, I believe that on Sundays, it was the popular Sunday afternoon diversion for folks to jump on the family camel and go riding by, you know, to look at that crazy man building that giant houseboat out in the place where there was not any water. It had always dewed and it covered the earth and it caused the grass to grow and the trees to grow. But God said he was going to send a flood. They didn't believe God. I can see him going from village to village proclaiming impending judgment, but they didn't believe it. Can you imagine preaching 120 years and didn't even have one single conversion? I mean, you talk about being discouraged and down in the mouth. You know, how in the world can you just keep on preaching and keep on being faithful and keep on believing God when nothing is happening? But he believed God. And he continued to build that ark until 120 years passed. And I just believe it took him all that time to get that ark built. But he believed God. And finally the time came that God brought the animals in and escorted them. They were escorted into that ark. And then God shut the door. And I'm going to tell you that's significant. When God shuts the door, it's a door that no man can open. And God shut that door and they went inside and 7 days passed. 7 days. The number of completion and finality. 7 days, and I'm sure they thought that it's getting kind of rank inside that ark. I don't know how God did it, but he took care of that. But at the end of 7 days, the Bible said that the rains began to fall, the storm clouds gathered on the horizon. They'd never seen it lightning. They'd never heard the thunder roll. They'd never seen the clouds in such turmoil. And all of a sudden, at the command of Almighty God, he gave the word and the heavens opened. And the fountains of the deep broke up and water came from everywhere. And for 40 days and 40 nights, it just, water was coming from the heavens and from the earth, and it just continued to rise higher and higher, and that old boat lifted off the ground. I'm sure the folks thought about the fact that maybe old Noah was right. Maybe God is going to destroy this world. Maybe we're going to die if we don't get on the ark. And I can see them come and holler. I mean, they were holding on to some limb, some piece of wood, and they were hollering, Noah, please let us in. Please let us in. But it was a door that God had shut. Noah couldn't open the door. God is merciful and long-suffering, but he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. But there'll come a time when God will say it's enough in this day in which we live. Everybody died save Noah and his family that were in the ark. That ark is a symbol of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Then in the days of Lot, the Bible said there came the angels to bring them out of that place. You remember the story. How that the angels came and Lot was sitting at the gate. He was a man of authority. And he saw them come in and he got down from his seat. And he went out to greet them. He bowed down before them because he knew these are not ordinary men. And he invited them to come to his house. And they said, no, we'll stay in the street. Lot knew it wasn't safe to stay in the street. So he entreated them that they would come into the house, and finally they consented and they went inside. But that night, the wicked men of that city came and they knocked on the door and they said, send out these men that we may know them. And Lot said, no. Even made I bargained with them that I'll send out my two daughters. But they didn't want that. And the Bible tells us that they were going to break down the door, and the angels pulled Lot in. And then the scripture tells us that the men came against the door and they began to beat upon it. And the angel struck them with blindness to where they could not see. You see, God had set judgment to come. And they didn't repent. They didn't get right. And finally, the time had come and God was going to send judgment just like he pronounced. And you know the story that the next morning they got up early. And they left out of town. Lot and his family. And you know the story how his wife looked back. And I'm sure she could hear the crying, the weeping, the destruction that was going on. And she turned around and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. But that little band hurried out of the city and they were spared. God was merciful. He was merciful. Well, when the Lord returns, mercy will be there. The Bible said that the gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then shall the end come. A number of years ago in the Los Angeles Crusades, Billy Graham, when he was still active preaching, made the statement. He said, this gospel has been preached in all the nations as a witness. There's nothing to stop the Lord from coming right now. I believe that this morning. There is nothing to stop the Lord from coming right now to call a screeching halt to things down here. God's message was despised. In the days of the flood, only 8 people responded. The scorn, the ridicule that faced the man of God as he went from village to village preaching of impending judgment. In Lot's day, the message was proclaimed. And did they receive it with gladness? Oh, no. The Bible said, as he said, Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-law and said, get you out of this place. But he seemed to them as one that mocked. They didn't believe him. Do you think folks believe that Jesus is coming today? No, not as a whole. Oh, there's a faithful remnant that the Lord said he'll always have of individuals that know that they know that they know that he's coming. And we're ready for the fact that he will come. And I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready for him to come. I know that you're ready for him to come. I used to think, God, help us to have more time to reach the perishing. But it seems like some of the church are falling away. God, help us. Oh, there will be scoffers in the last days. And they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things are continuing the way that they've always gone. But I do want to remind you that judgment is coming. As it was, so shall it be. The Bible said Noah went in and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark. In the days of Lot, we see a small band hurrying out of the city. There shall be 2 in the field. The one shall be taken. The other shall be left. Oh, there's coming a day of separation. A day of separation. God has called. He's done everything through the foolishness of preaching and warning folks to get right, to get ready. I'm coming back. This same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will also come again in like manner as you have seen him go. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort, strengthen one another with these words. As it was, so shall it be. Let's bow for prayer.